Good evening, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Blessing to see the people of God gathered to look into His Word. You on the Lord's side this evening? I hope we are. It's the only place to be in our time or in any time. God has so beautifully made Himself known. We recognize and confess Him to be our Creator, our Sustainer, our Provider, and we are blessed to live in the times in which we live, in the dispensation in which we live. We have so much to reflect on how God worked among His people across the centuries of time, and enjoy the blessing of being instructed, many of us, and brought up in the ways of God. And so, combining all those blessings together, obviously all coming from God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have so much to be thankful for and are blessed in so many ways. Along with that comes a stewardship responsibility to be faithful in what has been entrusted to us and teach it to the next generation. And so we want to be laborers together in God's work under His blessing and under His direction. May God bless this congregation in your endeavor to encourage each other, admonish each other, prod each other on, if you will, in the ways of God. Developing transparency in the brotherhood. Interesting subject, one we should all have interest in. So I trust we are here tonight wanting to be encouraged and watching for opportunities that God brings Him into our life and experience to be a blessing and encouragement to each other. Well, how do we do life together? Again, God has very beautifully in His Word laid out how mankind should relate to each other, how mankind should live. Way back in the Old Testament, He gave the Ten Commandments, the first of which tells how we are to relate to our Creator. Not to have any other gods beside Him, worship no other one other than Him, goes on and gives us those instructions. Then the remaining Ten Commandments tell us how to relate to each other. We're not to kill, we're not to steal, we're not to bear false witness, and on the list goes of God's instructions, how man relates to each other. And on through the Scriptures we go, and we find much good instruction pertinent to our lives. And again, we are blessed to have history to reflect on and read about people who follow God's word and how they were blessed, and read about people who took their own way and the sad end of that path. We're blessed tonight. But you know what? Today's our day. And we are writing history every day. And so we trust that tonight's subject can help us to know how God would have us to do life. Someone said you need to be real and do life together. Well, what's involved in being real? Well, we'll get into some of that as we move along. Another quote I ran across, we can be completely loved when we are completely known. I thought that was interesting. We can be completely loved when we are completely known. When we allow ourselves to be open ourselves up to our brothers and our sisters. Developing transparency in the brotherhood. First of all, I'd like to think a little bit about the context of our subject. It's in the brotherhood. Okay? We could talk about tonight, we could spend all evening talking about how to get along with our neighbors. The do's and don'ts of how to get along with our neighbors. Tonight we're going to talk about developing transparency in the brotherhood. So that's the context of our discussion tonight, in the brotherhood. The Apostle Paul has some teaching for us. Romans chapter 8, a very familiar chapter, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That defines the people of God. I trust that defines this congregation here tonight. That you have the joy and the peace and the rest and satisfaction of having no condemnation because you've taken your blood, your sins and confessed them, and you yielded your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you therefore have no condemnation, no guilt. You're at peace with your Maker and peace one with another. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So that is the context of our discussion tonight. Those who are in Christ Jesus, the brotherhood, we call it, the church community, brotherhood, community. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd like to read a number of verses in this chapter. Again, the teaching of the Apostle Paul, and he very beautifully illustrates the body of Christ as a body. Is Christ in your heart tonight? Have you yielded yourself over to him? Are you walking in humility before him? Do you recognize your responsibility as one of the members of the body of Christ? We are members in particular, this chapter reminds us. So we'd like to read a number of verses here. It would be interesting to read the whole chapter. The first part of the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talks about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to varying people. There are diversities of gifts in verse 4. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There's diversities of operation, the same God. Manifestation of the Spirit given to every man. To some are given the Spirit the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. Another the work of miracles, others prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And so we see the diversity of gifts that God gives to the church. And as I look across this congregation, I'm sure there is a diversity of gifts. That's how God establishes congregations. He brings us together in this beautiful way for each of our individual benefit in the brotherhood. That's our context tonight. Reading on, starting at verse 12 again. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I have no need, I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, am I not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole were body, where were the eye? Where were an eye? Where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We'll just continue reading there. That's beautiful. As it is lived out in our lives in Christ. It's beautiful. making the comparison of the human body. So which one of you have ever experienced that your hand got frustrated with your head and just gave it a good bop? It doesn't happen, does it? Which one of you have ever experienced that your finger got disgusted about something about your eye and just poked it good? That's not how our body works, is it? You know what my hand does when my eye sees an object coming toward it? It's there to protect it quickly. It works together for a common good and common protection, for the complete benefit of the body as a whole. It's so beautiful. So the Apostle Paul gives us this instruction. And I just wanted to share that this evening as a little bit of an introduction or a way of capturing our thoughts and minds and helping us to understand God's will for us, the members of the body of Christ, to work together for one common interest, to glorify God and to draw my heart individually toward Him in beauty and surrender and humility, and to do it collectively, as we first of all perhaps do it individually, but then we are encouraged to do it collectively to the honor and glory of God. So much for a brief introduction. Let's go on and talk about a couple other words in our subject title tonight, developing transparency. Well, what do you do when you develop something? Is there a need to develop transparency in this congregation? Is there anything that God would speak into my heart and my life? It was good for me to need to get this message together, because I'm human just like the rest of you are. There is no perfect man here tonight, and there's no perfect young lady or older sister here tonight, or girls or boys. We are not perfect. We so desperately need each other to round ourselves out in life. And we need to be thankful for who God brings into our life, the godly people that God has brought into our lives that have impacted the path and helped us to make wiser choices than what we would have on our own by times. And we're all in that category. And so we want to develop transparency, that it might be an aid in our desire to be more godly and to be able to bless each other in a more abundant way to God's honor and glory. What's it mean to develop? Webster says to build up or expand, to make stronger or more effective. I like that. But maybe you've all achieved. There's no room left for expansion. There's no room left to become stronger and more effective in your encouragement of one another, in your building each other up, in your prodding each other along. I know better, because we're human. And it's a lifelong experience of walking with God and living life. And we need to be real and do life together. Again, God has very beautifully arranged it, that we can bless and encourage one another and build each other up. Well, this word transparency, the quality or state of being transparent. Well, that didn't help us out a whole lot, did it? It often takes us back to the root, don't they? What's it mean to be transparent? Without guile or concealment. Open, frank, candid, clear. So what we're to talk about tonight is developing transparency, developing in the way of the quality of being transparent, which means to be without guile, to be open, to be frank with each other, to be candid or clear with each other. And there's a right way to do that, and there's a not such a good way to do that, very frankly speaking. And you know, we're all made of different temperament. I haven't looked into all that temperament stuff. I don't know, back 15, 20 years, it was a big thing to study what temperament you were of and try to help yourself to tweak it and know what your weak points were. And there can be a place for that, but that can be an end in itself as well. And I watched it be an end in itself over that time when that was just the end thing to talk about it. I remember one time we went to visit a couple about our age, and she was all into it. And before we were hardly in the door, she approached me and says, you know, when you got out of the car, I knew right away what temperament you were of. She knew it by the way I walked and just the way I moved around. I don't know. Maybe I should be frightened. Maybe there's somebody here analyzing me tonight. But you know what? If we're not careful, we can tend to do that, all of us, whether we're studying temperaments or not. And that can be an end in itself, and it can be a distraction in our encouragement of each other. We'll get into more of that in just a bit. On the flip side, I believe we need to be open, clear, open and frank, not hiding things in our lives, and all that goes with that. Well, that thought again, we can be completely loved when we are completely known, would suggest also that it's probably important that we don't live a secret life. My studies told me that they have concluded that the millennials and the Gen Z people, using that categorization of people, what is that, 40-year-olds and younger maybe, roughly, are a lot more inclined to be open and willing to talk about life and their lives than what people 40 plus and older do. People my age were more the kind that, you know, we dressed up, we went to church, and we lived our stiff lives, and we looked just about right on Sunday morning, and just let me alone the rest of the time. We don't need to talk about it. And I don't know that I ever felt that way, but that's what one writer suggested, that, you know, the 40-plus people have a tendency to be a little bit more that way, but the younger ones seem to be more open to talk about life and have exchange and do life together than what the older ones did. I don't know, there's a lot of benefit talking about that. But we need to be open. Someone also said there is no healing without revealing. Well, we know there's no healing with God without revealing that we are to God and saying to God that I am a sinner and I need your salvation. There's no healing as far as salvation is concerned without healing. I mean, without revealing. And in human relationships, there's often not healing without revealing of inner thoughts and motives and acknowledging who we are and our needs before each other. Our first point tonight is transparency with God. It is so important tonight as we think about developing transparency in the brotherhood that we're okay being transparent before God. Now, how much does God know about you tonight? How much does he know about each one of you as you sit here tonight? As we understand the scriptures, there's not a thing hidden from God. That's right, not even the very thoughts that are going through your mind. He knows them. Are you okay with that? Well, guess what? You need to be. Because if you are or you aren't, it isn't going to change the fact that God knows. And so as we fix our life up with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and have our sins forgiven, and we have no condemnation because we are walking in the Spirit, not according to the flesh, we're okay with God knowing all about our lives. That's just okay. And if we're going to be okay in a Christian brotherhood, developing transparency in the brotherhood, if you're going to be okay having transparency in the brotherhood, it's going to have to build on the foundation of being okay that God knows all about me, first of all, and we've cleaned up our lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't have that foundation, you're going to have a struggle on the personal relationships. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. There's no secrets with God. There's nothing hidden with him. And that's okay for the child of God. Luke chapter 8 and verse 17, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Nothing. There's nothing hidden with God. Can you all say, I'm okay with that? We need to be okay with that. And as true children of God who have had our sins forgiven, and we have a clean slate before God and between our fellow man, we're okay with being transparent before God and knowing that he knows all things. A very familiar passage back there in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and lead me in the way everlasting, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a prayer that we should be able to pray. Ask God to search us. Now, do we need to ask God to search us in order for him to search us and know us? So why pray that prayer? God already does know you. He knows your heart. He knows you inside out. He knows your thoughts. So why say, search me, O God? We pray that prayer because I, in my heart and in my mind, I need to say that to show my brokenness before God and my openness with God. I don't need to say that to invite God to search me. God can search me without me asking him to, but when I humble myself and I acknowledge that God can do that in my life, it does something for my walk of life that helps me to walk close with him. The first verse, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast set me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou coverest me in my mother's womb. And we could keep on reading. But as the psalmist in these first 12 verses acknowledges the penetrating eye of God, the penetrating eye of God that looks deep into your heart and into your life, don't try to hide anything from him. Don't ever try to hide anything from God. You can't, to start with. It's a futile effort. And it'll be to your detriment, spiritually. So that needs to be the foundation. An openness to the fact that our lives, everything about our lives, our very thought life, everything about us, is like an open book before God. Here I am. That's transparency. Not like our first parents. You know, when they partook of the forbidden fruit and they heard God coming through the garden, what did they do? They hid. They were ashamed and they hid. How'd they make out? God find them? God knew right where they were. Hast thou partaken of the forbidden fruit? And then he began to make excuse. And she made excuse. As we read through the Gospels, we often hear the words, and Jesus knowing their thoughts. Just over and over again. And Jesus knowing their thoughts. And then he proceeds to expose their hypocrisy or their, yeah, whatever it was, the shortcoming of their lives. Knowing their thoughts. Again, are you okay with the fact that God knows your thoughts? We need to be, because not being okay with it doesn't change it. God knoweth our thoughts. Excuse me. Developing transparency in the brotherhood. Now, we mentioned already that we all have different personalities, characteristics. You know, you sometimes meet a man or a woman who we say is painfully quiet and withdrawn. We need another person who he chatters enough that you know everything that goes through his mind almost. That's an exaggeration. But you know, there are people who think out loud. It seems there are some that you come to that conclusion. And so we all have different makeups. And some of us are probably more comfortable, and apparently the younger generations are more comfortable, being open and transparent than us older ones are. So we want to learn from you younger ones. We need to learn from each other. And so in our circle of friends, even within the brotherhood, which is the context of our discussion tonight, we have a person or persons who we are closer to than we are to others. And I believe that is okay to a degree, as long as we don't become exclusive. That can be a problem, if become exclusive become cliques, I guess they call it. We don't want to have cliques. And so if we were to have a board here tonight and draw a circle in it, and in the center of that circle, you would write God. In the center of that circle, you would write God. He is the one that you are the most intimate with. He is the one that you are the most free to talk about anything that goes through your mind and heart. Because as a child of God, you know he knows it already. And he alone, over and above the rest of you, as great as you are and as wise as what you are, God knows my life and my future and everything about me and each one of you, that he's the one you go to and you share everything. We share everything with God. And so that's the one we are probably going to be and will be the most transparent with. Okay, so that's in the circle. It says God. Then outside of that circle, you do another circle. And in that ring, you would have we'll call it your inner circle. It might be two or three people that you are the closest to. It might be a dozen people. I don't know. It varies with people. But they're your closest friends. And I hope every one of you here tonight has that inner circle. For some of us, it might be a pretty big circle. And that's good, too. Probably the bigger it is, the better. But to be honest, to be real about it, sometimes we only have a few really close friends, close, that we will share our gut with. We say we share our gut with each other. I mean, there's not much that, if Vernon here and I are we're just the closest of friends. There's no one I'd rather be with and hang out with him. And there's no one that I'm more free to talk about my life than I am with him. Yeah, he's in that inner circle. We just share one-to-one. He with me, I with him. That's your inner circle. Maybe there's two or three others in that circle. And then you could draw another circle, and we could call that maybe the larger group or the village people. Yeah, a bigger circle of friends that you have confidence in, that you share with, but not as intimately as you do that inner circle. But I believe it's okay. And then you have one more circle, and we'll say acquaintances. It's just the people you know. It might be your neighbors. It might be the local storekeeper. It might be the local shop manager. You know, your acquaintances. And to them, you'll probably be less likely to share be less transparent with your journey of life and the things that you face and the challenges that you face in life. But God has very beautifully made us to be people of exchange and interaction. And especially in the brotherhood, it's such a blessing that we can have open sharing, contact, and build each other up. Next, just a little bit, I have a few points here. I'd like to talk about some deterrents or enemies of developing transparency. Just a few enemies. Things that will militate against being transparent in the brotherhood or developing transparency. Shame in one's life. Shame in one's life. Maybe because of sin, maybe because of failure, maybe because I feel like I can't live up to other people's expectations. Struggles that I'm facing, my imperfections. You know, you watch other people and they look so perfect. They look so perfect and poor me. And people struggle, they have shame. And that can cause them to withdraw. So if that's something that you struggle with, we want to encourage you tonight to lift your shoulders and reach out to someone, to reach out to others. You're not as bad off or unequal to others as what maybe the devil's tempting you to believe you are. The scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians that there is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. And I would just like to use that phrase to remind us that there is no personality or challenge of life, but such as is common to man. You know, we really face a lot of the same thoughts and challenges and experiences in life as what our fellow brothers and sisters do. We're made of the same stuff, we hear it said. We're all made of the same stuff. And so don't let shame or your feeling of inadequacy or imperfections or your failures hinder you from being transparent. Now, I acknowledge that when we are transparent and open with our brother and our sister, our closest friends even, that along with transparency comes vulnerability. We're vulnerable, or you know, we just open up about ourselves, and what if the person I share with, what where's he going to go with it? And so we need to build trust and friendship, and the person who's being poured out upon and shared with needs to be very discreet. If he's a true friend, he will be very discreet with whom he will share the information that he receives about that person. A second deterrent or enemy of development transparency is busybodies. The Apostle Paul did some teaching about busybodies who spend their life trying to figure people out, and talking about people often goes together. You will not find many friends or find people who are going to help you in your Christian life if you're a busybody. People are going to pull back. Gossip, shallow talk. They can be deterrents or enemies of developing transparency. The third one I have listed here is pride. What will people think of me? Or I can handle life myself. That's an expression or a thought of pride. No, you can't. God's grace is sufficient. If for some reason you are called to go through some kind of an experience and you are out there by yourself somewhere for a while, God will give you grace. But in the general scheme of things, God intends that you find support and encouragement and pull together with other believers. Yes, you can handle it between you and God, but God very beautifully brings other people into your lives, whether it's family, church family, or whoever it might be. And let's be humble enough to allow them to help us and share our challenges that we face with them. The fourth deterrent enemy of developing transparency is conflict. Conflict in relationships, conflict in brotherhood, I hope not, but unfortunately it can happen. Factions, cliques are deterrents of transparency. Suspicion, number five. Suspicion, to be of a suspicious nature about people. You know, you don't trust anyone. We need to be trusting, especially in the brotherhood, and believe the best about people. You need to believe the best about people. The sixth one, the last one I have written down here, and there's many more that could be found, is busyness. To build each other up and encourage each other takes time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take engagement, connection to develop relationships. I'll read a couple paragraphs that I ran across that someone else wrote, and I didn't know how to write it better, say it better, so we give him the credit. It didn't even say who it was. Transparency requires vulnerability, which can be frightening. We need courage to live this way. Yes, we do. We must identify with Christ with clarity, not like Peter that we read about in John chapter 18, where he warmed himself by the fire, and the damsel said, "You're one of his disciples." "I am not." Peter was warming himself by the fire of the enemies of God, and he came up short. We need to be, and he goes on to say, when we know unshakably we are God's children, perfectly known, loved, and forgiven, then our identity is not swayed by people's opinion of us. I'll read that again. When we know unshakably we are God's children, perfectly known, loved, and forgiven, then our identity is not swayed by people's opinion of us. As we practice courage and vulnerability together, we can lovingly encourage each other toward holiness of living. I thought that was very well written. And so as we allow ourselves to be transparent to each other and vulnerable, oh wow, I never expected you had that weakness. I'm afraid people might think that of me if I share with them a challenge or a shortcoming that I have in my life. We can't feel that way. If we're dedicated to Christ and we want to live a holy life and we face challenges, whatever that challenge might be in life, we need to be ready to be vulnerable and share it with our brother or our sister that we've learned to have confidence in, that they will be supportive, that they won't blab it to everybody. It's a challenge for us church leaders. It's a challenge for parents. It's a challenge for close friends, that when someone shares with us, that a week later, the person that shared with us doesn't find out that the whole congregation knows it now. That don't build respect. It doesn't build transparency. They'll think twice or three times or maybe completely not come to you the next time. We need to be very discreet in what we share about people, what people confide in us about, and be there and coach them in their way. He goes on and says, I've never met anyone who has found transparency fun or easy, but I've heard countless times how sanctifying people have experienced it to be. And at the heart of the matter, living transparently is less about us and more about God and his work. And that's what we want this meditation to be about tonight, about God and his work and what he wants to do in the hearts and lives of each of us in the brotherhood. Loving and encouraging each other through transparency builds up the church body and glorifies God to a watching world. Amen. You know, there's something attractive about all of God's ways. When you walk in God's ways, it's attractive to those who are followers and disciples of his. But especially in this area of sharing love and being transparent and open with each other, you know, a visitor of a congregation can soon tell on a scale of what the love relationship and exchange relationship and transparency that's in a congregation and a group of God's people. And people are attracted to God's way for the children of God to relate to each other. It's beautiful. Where they don't sense criticalness, but they sense an openness where we share and we encourage one another in love and respect. That's a beautiful light and testimony. In fact, it is said that people choose church fellowships and congregations to be a part of, and this is much broader than in the Anabaptist Mennonite churches. People often choose where they'll associate and where they'll plant their feet in church fellowships, more by relationships and openness and sharing than what they will the principles and doctrines of the scriptures. That's what studies claim. But you know what's really beautiful? Is when you have people that are loyal to the Word of God and the doctrines of God's Word and live it out in transparency and openness and love and encouragement. You know, combine the whole package and do it God's way, and then you have it. That's God's way. So let us clothe ourselves with humility, he says. Take courage and root ourselves in our identity in Christ as we practice our commitment to transparency together. I want to read that paragraph again. I thought that was a good summary. So let us clothe ourselves with humility, take courage, and root ourselves in our identity in Christ. Root yourself in your identity in Christ as we practice our commitment to transparency together. Building blocks for developing transparency. Just share a few building blocks. To develop it, I came here tonight believing that you have transparency in your brotherhood and that you want to grow in it, to be able to bless each other in even a greater level than what has been happening here at Calvary. I have not received, I was not told to talk on this because there's some real needs. But again, I know you're human. We're imperfect. And you probably can improve. I know I can. We all can. Building blocks for developing transparency. Point number one, Christ-like qualities of life. The quality of love. Jesus is the greatest example of love. It wasn't about him that he came to this earth. He didn't come, but he came to serve and give his life. The other quality of Christ is compassion. If we're going to develop in transparency and encourage one another, it's going to take compassion, the compassion of Christ in my heart, in your heart, for me and me for you, and for all of us together. Again, over and over in the Gospels, and being moved with compassion of Jesus, it is said, he did what? He healed a lame person, or he did something else, or he did something. And being moved with compassion. Another quality of life of Christ that we need to have is long-suffering with each other. Some of us are more impatient than the rest of you are. Thank you for bearing with us. Help us to be more long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering with each other because you know what? God was long-suffering with us, far beyond what we deserved. And he continues to be long-suffering. It's the long-suffering of God that is withholding Jesus from coming back because he's not willing that any would perish. The long-suffering of God. We need to be long-suffering with our sister and our brother because we do fail. But we want to succeed. Is there anyone here tonight that don't really care whether they succeed in their Christian life or not? I don't think there is. We all want to succeed in our Christian life. We all want to make it to our eternal reward. And if my brothers and my sisters can help me overcome my weaknesses, I invite it. I invite you into my life. It's best if we invite people into our life and we don't live in a way that they observe that we have needs in our lives and they're not sure how to approach us. And so they carefully try to and we're ouchy. Let's just be open and transparent. building blocks for developing transparently. Point number two, accept and understand membership responsibility. And I'm not talking about membership of the Calvary congregation, although that is included. I'm talking about being a member of the body of Christ as we read about it in 1 Corinthians. We are members in particular. Each one of you is a member in particular. And each member has its responsibility. My hand, a member of my body, has its responsibility in the things it does. And my tongue doesn't lash out at my hand and ask it what it's doing. Neither does that happen in the body of Christ with its members. But we understand what our responsibility is. My hand needs to take seriously, its responsibility to do what it was created to do. So in the body of Christ, you need to accept and fulfill the responsibility of membership as a member of the body of Christ. God has a vital place for each one of you to fill. We read about what some of those things are. One of the gifts of the Spirit was faith. There are men and women here tonight who have a stronger faith than what I have. I know there are. There probably are. Or if to me has been given the spirit of faith or the gift of faith, I need to bestow it on the rest of you and encourage you to grow in your faith. That's our responsibility. And as we develop in transparency with each other and are open with our strengths and our weaknesses, admonish one another, we can build each other up. So we understand our membership responsibilities. We are not complete in ourselves. There is no one of you that is complete in yourself. As a member, I want to contribute to and personally benefit from. It's reciprocal. You bless me, and your other brother blesses you, and your sisters bless each other. And what a blessing it is in Christ. We are created for community, for brotherhood, for exchange. We are not to live our life to ourselves. Building block for developing transparency, consistency. Consistency in the Christian life, predictability, people know where you stand and they can count on you. That will encourage them or help them to be more free to come and share with you and to accept your guidance and to maybe not even need to ask sometimes, but you know, as you face a question in your life and you reflect on how a brother or two or sister or two that you're really acquainted with, you know about how they would sort it out and they are stable in their Christian life and you follow suit. Like the children that say, hey, let's ask Dad if we can. And the other child says, I know already what Dad's going to say. That's okay. Or our young families or middle-aged families or our youth or somebody else. And you're, do you think it would be all right to do lessons? So let's check with Brother John, the pastor. I know what John will say. It's okay. He's done some teaching. He's made some practical applications. Consistency, predictable. I know already what they will say. Build on biblical principles, obviously. Value spiritual insights of faithful members. To challenge for us church leaders. The Calvary congregation is not Vernon, Titus, Jason, and Edmund's church. It's y'all's church. You're the church of Jesus Christ here in this area. And you search the scriptures together and you agree on applications of scripture and you build each other up and you follow what you have agreed to be. Predictable, constant. Self-seeking leaders, self-seeking parents will be a detriment to development of transparency in their children or the sheep for which they are responsible. And it will stunt spiritual growth. It'll trigger withdrawal. It tr- triggers withdrawal and less transparency. People go into hiding when they become disappointed and disillusioned, and they make decisions that they normally wouldn't have made. And as a leader or a parent, if I become erratic in my guiding my home or direction of the church, I'm accountable to God, because of my action, I cause people to be less transparent and pull back into their own shell and make unwise choices in life. I believe God holds us responsible. Let's be there for youth who may be struggling, for parents who may be struggling in guiding their young children, making important decisions in life that are of lifelong consequences. Everyone around us, we need to be supporting each other. Another building block is build relationships. Build friendships, build relationships. It takes time, it takes visitation. Go visit each other. Just recently, a brother in our congregation lamented the fact that he seems like we don't visit like we used to in our homes. Maybe you all do really well with that down here, I don't know. But build relationships. Don't live by yourself. You don't need to. Don't allow relationship fences to build. Don't have cliques. Include everyone. But yes, I believe you will have closer friends some than others. But do include others in the general scheme of life. Value others. Point number five, be transparent yourself. If you want the rest to be transparent yourself. Be vulnerable to the others. Live a life of an open book. Point number six, don't become weary or withdrawn. Persevere. It will be rewarding. It's worth the effort to continue on. It's worth the effort for what it does in your life when you are transparent. It's worth the effort and time in your life when others are transparent with you, and you, in a caring, compassionate, loving way, can give guidance to another person's life. The blessings flow back and forth between us. Praise His name. Without a willingness to be transparent, we cannot bear each other's burdens. How can I help to bear your burden? How can Brother A help Brother B bear his burden if Brother A don't know what Brother B's burden is? Sister A, you're going to need to share the burden and the challenge that you're facing in your life with Sister B if you want B to encourage you and bear up with your burdens and help to carry it and help you to bring it to God. So without a willingness to be transparent, we cannot bear each other's burdens, as Galatians 6, verse 2 tells us we ought to do. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Without a willingness to be transparent, we cannot comfort one another. If I don't know that your heart is broken and that you're facing some traumatic experience and you need comfort and encouragement, I won't be there. On the flip side, we are not to be busybodies, but we need to be alert and watch the countenance of people. I think sometimes we can see when someone is struggling, and then we don't force ourselves upon them, but sometime in a quiet, humble way, we might say, "Your brother John, how's it going? Is everything okay?" Let them know you care about them. Without willingness to be transparent, we cannot encourage each other. Until we know where we're at in life's journey in particular, we can't be as specifically in our encouragement. However, in a general way, we can always encourage one another by a life of faithfulness and by reaching out and speaking a word of commendation. Thank you for that Sunday school lesson. Thank you for the Sunday school devotional. You lift each other up with encouraging words and words of commendation. We don't do enough of it, I don't think. I'm speaking for myself. Without a willingness to be transparent, we cannot forgive one another. Yeah, over the years, I had people call me and ask me to forgive them for something. And I didn't realize there was something to forgive them for. And that, in a sense, that's how it ought to be, unless it's a really fragrant trespass. If it's a fragrant trespass, we might know that they trespassed against us or something. And we may wonder by times if they're ever going to clear it up, not that we hold it against them, because we are to forgive as we are forgiven. But I've had people come to me, and I remember one preacher brother, 25 years ago, he came to me and said, "Brother Jim, I just want to tell you that I had a bad attitude about you because of something you said at minister's meeting, and I'm sorry about that. I want you to forgive me." I said, "You are forgiven, brother. I didn't know it. I didn't see it." But I couldn't forgive him until I knew that he had. But he needed to do that to clear his conscience. Forgive one another. Another one is care for one another. Constant care for one another. Are you a caring person? If you have the love of Christ and are a compassionate person and a caring person, and people come to know you as someone that's going to be there, people will find it easier to be transparent with you and share their challenge, their struggle, or whatever it might be. Without a willingness to be transparent, we cannot weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice, except in extreme situations. Again, let's be sensitive to what people are going through and walk with them. That is in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Well, why is it important to be transparent, to develop in this gift? It allows us to come alongside one another and encourage and admonish one another. We could go into the area of accountability with each other. As people face challenges, secret sins that they struggle to have victory over, it's good if you turn to someone, a faithful brother and sister, that you can confide in and say, "I just struggle with this over and over again. I want you to pray with me. And I want you to hold me accountable and check with me once in a while to see how I'm doing." Transparency, openness. We encourage one another in spiritual growth. And as we encourage others in their spiritual journey of life, it in turn challenges our own spiritual journey. And so we're in this together, brothers and sisters. This discussion tonight is in the brotherhood. We want to develop transparency in the brotherhood to grow more Christ-like and to help each other in life's journey. I ran across this saying, if I had known what troubles you were bearing, what griefs were in the silence of your face, I would have been more gentle and more caring and tried to give you more gladness for a space. I would have brought more warmth in this place if I had known. If I had known what thoughts despairing drew you, why do we never try to understand? I would have lent a little friendship to you and slipped my hand within your hand and made your stay more pleasant in the land if I had known. You know, in this congregation here tonight, I am sure there's a desire in the heart of, I hope, everyone, that they want to know if you're facing challenges and struggles in your life. And we all face them by times. Transparency and openness will help us through those valleys. It will. So God bless you as a congregation, as you encourage one another, build each other up. As you are members in particular with particular gifts that God has given each one of you, use them for the edifying of the body of Christ, encouraging each other and helping us all to be prepared for the return of our Lord Jesus. That's what life is all about. That's what church is all about. Let's encourage each other, admonish each other, build each other up. Open up our lives as an open book before each other. But all be discreet with what you share, because you can very quickly In fact, you can undo what has taken years to build in just one slip of the tongue. So let's not be skeptical of each other, critical of each other, judgmental of each other. Let's not talk about each other. If you have a burden on your heart about my life, don't talk to brother or somebody else about it. Come to me. Go to each other. Build relationships. Build relationships. It's called brotherhood. And it's God's way, and it's beautiful. It brings God glory and blesses the brotherhood. God bless you. Shall we kneel for prayer?